Good morning, everyone. Welcome to another time where we get to worship together as Unity Baptist Church. Let me just give you a little bit of a rundown of what today's going to look like, just because it's going to be a little bit different this morning. So as you can see, I've got my good friend and brother here, Joel Cadieu, with me, and he's going to come in and help us with communion and our reflection here. But before we get to that, the service is going to be slightly different in that we're going to do some of our words to God, our worship to God is going to come at the beginning here with God's greeting, call to worship, and we're going to do a couple of songs back to back, and then from that we're going to move directly into communion. So I hope you have your communion elements ready, and I hope that as we worship the Lord together, that you'll be using this time also to prepare yourself and your own heart for the time where we come to the table together. So we're going to practice communion together, and we'll sing one more song, and then we're going to move into our scripture and our reflection, which is actually going to be a conversation between Joel and myself over the passage that we'll be reading here. And we're going to leave this service open-ended. So I don't have a specific end time that we will be aiming for. We're going to see how God moves us this morning. And you can log out as soon as you are ready, and you are welcome to stay behind and have conversation afterwards as well, whenever it is that we wrap up. We'll finish our service time here, close it with the benediction, and then move on to some conversation times, and we'll make those links available to you in the chat, but you can also find them in the Sunday morning email that Christina sent out. So let's go to God's greeting and then our call to worship together. This is from Revelation, and God says, "Grace and peace to you from the one who was and, or excuse me, grace and peace to you from the one who is and the one who was and the one who is coming." God sends his grace and peace to you this morning. Let's join in our call to worship together. Please respond with the all from where you are. I'll read both parts. You're welcome to join me with the all as well. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and who is and is to come. You are worthy, our Lord and God, to receive glory and honor and power.
For you created all things, and by your will, they existed and were created.
Worthy is the Lamb that was slain.
He is worthy to receive power and wealth and wisdom and might and honor and glory and blessing.
This is all of us, to the one seated on the throne and to the Lamb, be blessings and honor and glory and might forever and ever.
Amen.
Amen. Let's worship God through song.
Blood that my Jesus spilled. Now the curse of sin has no hold on me. The Son sets free, oh, is free indeed. Now my debt is paid, it is paid in full by the precious blood that my Jesus spilled.
This morning, both to remember Jesus' death, but the table always points us forward to Jesus' resurrection as well, because Jesus says that you're going to do this until I come again. And so we need to be continually reminding ourselves that it is Jesus who brings us life, that it cost Jesus his life to bring us the life that he gives. And so that's part of why we take these elements this morning. We come to take part of Jesus into ourselves, that this is a reminder to us that we don't have this life in ourselves. We didn't get it from ourselves. We needed it to come from outside. In fact, we were the reason that we need life because we chose death instead. But we celebrate the fact that it's Jesus who offers us his life. So as we gather around this table of sorts this morning, let's take a moment to center ourselves as we have been doing in worship. Let's talk to God about who he is, and let's thank him for the sacrifice that he has made on our behalf. And then in a moment, I will offer a prayer for the bread. Lord, I am struck by your goodness, by the benevolence and grace that you show us in not holding back your own life but you pour out your life for us, for your enemies, for the people who didn't deserve it, for the people who killed you. We're here in front of a cross this morning where we smeared paint to represent your blood and your blood being on our hands. Lord, it's our fault. And yet, your greatness has overcome our sin. Your sacrifice has overcome the death that we brought into the world and that we took into ourselves and that we celebrate constantly as we welcome sin into our lives. Lord, forgive us. Forgive us for taking these elements in vain, where we have not at times remembered the sacrifice that Jesus has made for us. Lord, we cling to this cross again. We say we are nothing. We bring nothing to this except death. And we are here for your life. So Lord, thank you that Christ offered his body on our behalf, his body given for the life of the world. Lord, we take this morning in celebration and remembrance of him. Amen. Christ's body for you, my brother.
Thank you.
Christ's body given for you. Please take in remembrance of him.
Let's pray for the cup. Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for your awesome plan of salvation through your son Jesus, and how it was us who ultimately, our sin that put him there, and you redeemed it by using that to raise him from the dead and for us to have salvation through it. His shed blood is our freedom. And it's so incredibly awesome that I don't think we can even wrap our heads around it fully. The cost and what that means for us as far as freedom in our life now and the kingdom of God. But we can get a taste of it. And I pray that as we take the cup this morning, that we will find something even new today about what that sacrifice means for our lives, and that we would see a new dimension of beauty in the cup poured out for us as a sacrifice for the church. I thank you, Jesus, for your sacrifice. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Let's drink the cup together.
We're now going to sing one more song that in many ways is part of this communion reminder that Jesus is the very center of life. Let's sing together. Okay. Well, we've gone from offering many words to God and now transitioning to a time where we hope to position ourselves to be under God's word and to be listening and open and receptive to what it is that he is saying to us this morning. So I hope you have your Bibles, although I am going to put the scriptures on the screen. This is a very familiar passage, and that can sometimes be the enemy of it actually hitting us the way that it needs to. But we are going to ask the Lord to speak to us this morning. And so let me offer a prayer for illumination, and then we will get into our scriptures. Lord, you gave us your word, and sometimes we take it for granted, and sometimes it's harder to come to it if it's familiar. But I pray that neither of those would have power this morning, that instead it would be your spirit and your word that has power, your spirit speaking through it, your word speaking out who you are and what you are all about. And Lord, I pray that your spirit would be speaking to myself, to Joel, and to the church that you desperately love because you died for it, to redeem it. So Lord, have your way through this time. Give us ears to hear. In your name, amen. Yeah. Scriptures I should have shared at communion time. Here we go. This is from Revelation 3, beginning at verse 14. To the angel of the church in Laodicea, write, "These are the words of the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the ruler of God's creation. I know your deeds, that you are neither cold nor hot. I wish that you were either one or the other. So because you are lukewarm, neither hot nor cold, I am about to spit you out of my mouth. You say, 'I'm rich, I have acquired wealth, I do not need a thing.' But you do not realize that you are wretched, pitiful, poor, blind, and naked. I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in the fire so that you can become rich, and white clothes to wear so that you can cover your shameful nakedness, and a salve to put on your eyes so that you can see. Those whom I love, I rebuke and discipline. So be earnest and repent. Here I am. I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with that person and they with me. To the one who is victorious, I will give the right to sit with me on my throne, just as I was victorious and sat down with my Father on his throne. Whoever has ears, let them hear what the Spirit says to the churches." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. One of the nice things about doing our worship services over Zoom is that I suddenly feel like I have permission to do pretty much anything that we would like to do and experiment. And there's really nothing set in stone. And so this is another experiment here. The thought came to me the other week that, you know, we had asked Joel to share at the AGM, and he shared some words that were really that God had been speaking to him through this particular passage. And the thought came, well, what if we continued that conversation, trusting that God is speaking through Joel and through his word? Why don't we continue that conversation together? And so I just asked Joel if we could sit down together on a Sunday morning and open the scriptures together and have more of a conversation about what we think that God is speaking to us, and then from there to offer that to you to see if God is speaking similar things to you. So Joel, thanks for being part of the experiment, and thanks for being here.
Let's hope it goes well.
That's right. We are trusting God for this. Joel, I really appreciated the way that you shared at the AGM. And that includes the emotion that you shared, that um, I I felt like you put a face and an emotion to that text that I think that we needed to hear. And I think it's because God's been speaking to you lately and doing some work in your life. So why don't you just share a little bit more about what's been going on for you, how God's been at work?
Yeah, thanks, Ben. I kind of thought at the end of it, for those who were there at the annual, semi-annual, I thought that it was a disaster. I, like you said, it was a bit emotional, and I really wasn't prepared for that. As I was asking God that week about what to share in the devotional, it kind of all came together closer to the end. And that scripture has been, that we read this morning in Revelation 3, has been a bit of a theme, I guess, since the world kind of got flipped upside down with COVID. God has been using this time to reveal to me my own brokenness in ways that is described in here, that there's blindness and brokenness and nakedness and all the things that they're saying. It was like the Holy Spirit was speaking to me in that text. And when I read it out to the church during the thing, it was like I was confessing my own brokenness to the believers that I worship with. And so as I read it, it cut me to the heart. And I felt the Spirit speaking to me, saying, "This is you. This is where you're at." And so then not only are you broken because the word reveals that to you, but also the beautiful, during this time, it's God has been showing me that not only are you broken, but my promises, that if you turn to me, which this scripture ends up telling us too, is beautiful. It's his grace, even though we are lukewarm, is so beautiful that if we are to turn to him and admit our brokenness, there is such beauty in his grace that he promises us. And I think we can't, there's a season for being broken, and that's the season I've been in, but we're also looking forward to the power of his promises when we are broken, and that he will come dine with us. And so I think that scripture is so beautiful because of that. It exposes us for what we are, but then it also promises us who he is. And I just, it's been such a profound passage for me during this time. And I'm stuck on it. I can't move away from it. There's still so much there.
Mm-hmm. And I would say that I've been experiencing similar things as well, that as I've shared a little bit with the church, and since COVID-19 hit, I've just used this phrase a number of times. Like, I felt like I was asleep. And COVID-19 hit, and I was asking myself questions about, like, why am I not ready for this? Was this not what our whole lives as Christians were supposed to be about, is preparing for difficult times? And I looked at my own life, and I started asking hard questions, and felt like I feel like I've been a flabby Christian, just out of shape. And so that phrase about that you're lukewarm, was one that just deeply resonated with me. And I, as I've been reading this passage, I've been feeling like I don't need just to repent of these things as an individual Christ follower, but also specifically as a father and as a husband and as a pastor. It's been a very challenging passage. And God has also, I think, like you, been taking me through this time of needing to ask difficult questions and go through a season of repentance, because I resonated with the people that he was addressing in this text who thought they were doing okay. And there's this contrast between this is what you know, but this is what I know. And I was struck by those words, I know, and just deeply convicted.
Yeah, and I you know, one of the things that you said too in the beginning of asleep, I think that's also been a theme for me, symbolically of, you know, again, where we thought we were at and where we actually were at. And in prayer, God revealed to me that it was like in the Garden of Gethsemane, as we just did communion and after the Last Supper, and they went out and Jesus told the disciples to watch and pray as he went off a stone's throw away to spend some time alone with the Father and in his darkest hour here on earth. And he came back to find the disciples sleeping. And Jesus revealed to me that this was me. I've been told as a believer to watch and pray. And I was sleeping. And he has come and shook me and he said, can't you, you know, he told his disciples, can't you, I told you to watch and pray. I'm going through it here. And yeah, Jesus revealed to me that that's what I was doing. I was sleeping. And so now what do? Now that he's woken me up, am I going to fall back asleep? Or am I going to obey him and watch and pray? And I think that's the challenge for me, and how do we corporately, even as a church, use this time that has disrupted so many things in our life to watch and pray. And then that's been a challenge that I've been wrestling with.
Yeah. Yeah. We've been talking about how this feels like a season of preparation for what? I don't know, but I just have this continual thought of, we need to be ready. We need to get ready. I don't know, ready for what? I don't know, but isn't that what Jesus asks of his followers? And yet part of readiness means being woken up to the fact that we were asleep and not going back to sleep like you're saying. But what were those things that you think were putting us asleep or keeping us asleep?
Well, I think we can, and I can only speak for myself, but we can do things that aren't bad, but somehow give us a placebo effect that things are all right. You know, we can attend a Sunday morning service quite regularly. We can, you know, read our word, spend time praying. We can do these things, but if they're not radically transforming us to look more and more like Jesus, and at a personal cost to ourselves, then how is that, how am I following Jesus? Am I going through the motions in a lot of ways? And how does that reflect back on me to the world, do I look like Jesus to them, or do I just look like a little bit modified version of themselves? And I think the verse that comes to mind when I think about where I was and where sometimes the church can get is having a form of godliness but denying its power. And I think as the church, the Holy Spirit is so powerful that sometimes we've boxed it in through our rituals and our the way we want to do stuff, and we haven't allowed the Holy Spirit to lead us as a church, and or individually and then corporately. And but I think there's so much power that we are leaving out of the equation. And in my own life, I'm leaving power out of the equation. And how do I get back to that? How do I use this time? And I really feel God has been speaking to me about where we are in the world. And we were told to, he's coming like a thief in the night. And are we living like that? Are we really living like Jesus could come back tomorrow? I don't want to gather things here on earth, accumulate comfort and wealth. Going back to the scripture is, how do I buy gold from him refined? How do I buy white garments from him to clothe my nakedness? And so that's my prayer right now is, Lord, you've exposed my nakedness, and now I'm coming to you to clothe me. And what does that look like? And that's the tension that I'm in right now is to find those things. And how do I do that? I don't know. I don't even have an answer other than to pray and to ask God to lead me and to show me, how do I get these things? You've shown me them. You've told me that you will provide them for me. How do I get them? You know, your word is obviously exposing it. That's one way. Now it's time for me to get serious about prayer and seeking these things and asking and knowing that your promise at the end of that says that you'll bring that to us. And so I want to get there, but I need the Holy Spirit more than ever to get me there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It reminds me a lot of, you know, what Corey was sharing with us last week about how we have become so enculturated. We've just imbibed the values and the practices of our materialistic secular culture. And then we go through our sort of little religious motions, and then we wonder why we're lukewarm. And I'm not, when I say we, like I'm talking about me and Joel here at the moment, right? Like this is the track that we are on, and you are welcome to resonate with that to the degree that you feel the Spirit convicting you. But when we say we're talking about the two of us. And you know, this is a church that Jesus is addressing. I thought about putting those words on the screen in red letters because it's Jesus speaking. I just wasn't sure if it would show up properly on your screens. But this is Jesus addressing a church, and they have no power in the Spirit. And I'm starting to wonder if they have no power in the Spirit because they haven't been asking for it, like you're saying. They're not praying. They're not seeking it. And they're seeking something else instead. Everything that the culture has. You've said that, you say that you're rich and you don't need anything. Like, that's us. And I know some of you heard that speaking from when Corey spoke last week, because in our discussion group afterwards, one person spoke up very bravely in front of 15 other computers logging on and said, I was convicted that I've been building my own castle. And I sent that person a text message afterwards and said, me too. I've been building my own castle here at Unity. I've been building my own castle at home. And the passage here contrasts the way that this church is going. And Jesus says, you have to come to me to get riches. You have to come to me to get righteousness. Mm-hmm. You have to come to me to get spiritual eyes. But these two things, the the Spirit and what Jesus is offering and what the world are offering, they compete. And my heart's been way more over here than here.
Yeah, it's good. I want to share with Unity some of the things God is showing me about this body and what he wants to do with the people who call Unity Baptist home. He promises us, if we humble ourselves and we become broken, naked, disarmed, that we come together as a church with a log in our eye, and we look at the rest of the people in our church as having a speck in theirs, and we humble ourselves and we come together, that God will pour out his Spirit on Unity Baptist. We will see power that none of us can even dream about. He will pour himself out in a way that will manifest itself that our minds can't even comprehend. If we take this time right now and do that, and forgiveness, reconciliation, healing, all those things are ours. They're promises. They're in his word. Those things will happen if unity will come to this place. I'm begging you. It is beautiful. It's when we are broken that he will use us. We are a small, unknown church in North Red Deer that has nothing that is flashy or that would attract anything to us, but his Spirit moving through this body, I believe. And I've seen things that God has prepared for this body, and it is beautiful. But it happens when we're broken. And I believe that God is just, he wants this for us. And I believe that we can use this time that has thrown everything that we've known, our comforts and everything, out the window, that God is speaking to us. And he's speaking through some of you. He's put things on your heart that we need to hear together. And it's this time. Let's not waste it. Let's use it so that we can draw closer to the one who wants to draw close to us. That's my prayer. That is my prayer for Unity. I've been on my knees during this time. God has brought me here to this church, brought my family here to this church, and given me a love for this church that could only come from him. And I believe if we submit and we humble ourselves and we get honest and real, that he is going to show up in ways we never imagined. And I invite Unity to partake in this. It's my prayer.
Thanks, Joel. Humility. This week, Chantal and I were having a conversation. I was about to take Roslyn, our little baby, and take her for a nap. And Chantal was going to get a much-needed break. And I said to her, you know, please use this time wisely. And she looked at me and she said, that was condescending, Ben. And God used that to show me that if my pride causes me to, without even knowing it, look down on my wife, whom I love and respect more than anyone else. How much more have I hurt unity and led in that spirit of condescension and pride? And I want to apologize, Unity. We need to be broken. Been praying Psalm 51 that a broken spirit and a contrite heart are the sacrifices that God desires. And I'm not sure that he will ever bring us where Joel's talking about what God might do if we're not willing to be humbled and broken. That's essentially what our Revelation passage is asking for. That Jesus asks this church, and I'm not even speaking to Unity, I'm just speaking for myself, because the whole week I've just been praying that God would speak to me through this passage. I recognize it's speaking to a whole church, but I felt like it needed to be so personal. So I wrote it out to the pastor of the church at Laodicea. And that's what he asks the church. That's what he asks the individuals, that they say, we've been going the wrong way. Break us, show us the way that we need to go. Come buy my gold, Jesus says. We need his treasure. Joel, what do you think about the end of the passage where Jesus says you need to come by? Medication for your eyes. That's what an eye salve is.
Well, one of the things I know that we've been going through, one of the themes that God has been speaking to me has been, we live in a world that's both physical, material, and spiritual. And we live in a culture that is much more on the material and physical. And we live in a culture that says, if you can't define it by science, we're not going to spend time on it. And God has opened my eyes, and I believe he's using this to open up everybody's eyes, that we are very spiritual and we have not spent time with spiritual health. And what does that look like? And of course, the church, we're supposed to be the example to the world of spiritual health and acknowledging that. And so the balance between, I got to go to work and feed my family and live in a material world, but I'm also spiritual, and I need to bring health to that, and by spending time. And so for me, when I read that, I was so caught up in the material that I didn't spend enough time in the spiritual, and what the spiritual realm is and the spiritual warfare. And, you know, God has been using that salve on my eyes to open my eyes up to the spiritual realm, and how, what are we to use in the spiritual realm? We're told that that's where the battles happen. And so prayer, his word, the power of our testimony, all those things are what we're supposed to use in the spiritual realm. And so for me, when I read that, for now, there's so much things that is in the spiritual realm that we are to get on our knees and pray and ask God to bring the kingdom of heaven to earth. and to ask him to join in that. And how do we do that? And so for me, that's been my awakening, that I've seen this spiritual realm that I've been ignorant to, and that my eyes could not see before this, of how much importance is in the spiritual realm. And it's been very humbling to know I've been ignorant to this the whole time. So for me, that's when I read that, it just cuts me to the heart, because it's like, oh Lord, I've been so ignorant to what's really going on in the world.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it reminds me of the verse you and I have both been talking about, this idea that we are to seek first the kingdom. I mean, seek, that's a visual metaphor again, right? We're to seek first the kingdom, but spiritual eyes are needed, because we're not going to be able to see it if God does not show this to us. We're to seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. And as you're saying, we need to do it through prayer. And we've been talking about having a prayer meeting that's unlike the prayer meetings we've experienced in the past. Do you want to tell us more about that?
Yeah, as soon as this whole time has been going on, I've realized my bankruptcy in prayer, and just how powerful. I really think one of the things that when we meet Jesus and we reflect on our time here on earth, is we had this incredibly powerful source of incredible power, that is prayer. And there's just certain things that he unlocks here through prayer. There's certain places you can't go spiritually unless they're bathed in prayer. And has that been important for me? Has that been important for us? And during this time, when everybody's trying to rush back and get back to the way things were, as you've said, Ben, it's trying to go back to Egypt, which there's a lot of that I resonate with, of trying to go back to the way things were, the comfort that was there, or at least we thought was comfort. But I really feel like God's moving the church. I feel that this is an incredible shift in the church history. And I'm talking worldwide. I believe the world is changing so fast that most people can't keep up. So what's been on my heart is, okay, I can't, the church and the world is changing, but God has put me here at Unity. This is my church. This is my church family. Where does he want us to go? You know, we're going into a time where we're going to partner with Hope Mission, and we have individuals. And I'm saying, I don't think we should partner with, I guess that's the wrong word, but like, where does God want us? Well, how do we know? How are we going to know where God wants to move our church during this time, if we're going to shift to a church that seeks him and his Holy Spirit? What does that look like? And we don't even have a time where we're corporately coming together and getting on our knees with the sole reason of just saying, Lord, where are you taking us? Where are you taking Unity? Where are we to serve? Where are we to wash feet? How are we to worship? What does our worship look like now? What does our gathering look like now? And I think people have opinions out there of what that should look like. But have we corporately as a church asked the Holy Spirit, where do you want to take us? Where do you want to take Unity Baptist? And so, you know, we're having conversations and it's like, let's get together and ask him. Maybe he'll tell us. Maybe if we say, Holy Spirit, where are we going as a church? We're going to give you the wheel. We're going to take out all our programs and our worship service. We're going to take all that stuff out. And maybe you'll put it back in a different way, or maybe you'll totally take us in a new direction. But what if we just came together and prayed and said he's going to reveal it to broken people in Unity Baptist where he wants to take them. And to blow out all of our expectations of how it should look like, those of us who've been raised in the church that have an idea of what church looks like, blow that all out and get together, get on our knees and say, Lord, show us. Where are you taking us? Where is the kingdom of God? How can we take your kingdom and bring it to North Red Deer? And from there, go. And I feel if we get on our knees and we ask him and we humble ourselves, he'll show up and he'll lead us. But if we don't start there, we're not getting there. And I just, prayer is just such a powerful, powerful way that the church moves. And are we willing to do that? Are we willing to get together and pray and ask him to show up?
Yep. So we are inviting you to a prayer meeting, like Joel has been talking about, where we're going to seek God and ask with open hands, essentially. We don't have an agenda. We're actually going to seek your kingdom and ask you to do your will. Make it happen here in Red Deer as in heaven. So we're going to do that together this Thursday night at 7:00. It's going to be over Zoom. When we send out the midweek email, which usually goes out Tuesday or Wednesday, Christina will include the link for you in it. And whoever feels the Spirit leading them to join us and pray together, if it's Joel and me and someone else, that's great. If all of you join, that's great too. We're going to seek God and we're going to ask him what's next. And we're going to keep asking. I don't think this is going to be the only one. So let's do that together this coming Thursday. We're going to wrap up here in a moment, but Joel, is there anything that you feel like you would like to share before we wrap up?
I will summarize this. There's two ways I believe to be broken in this world. You can let the world break you, and we're seeing a lot of that during this time. As things are being taken away from people and people are being broken. Or you can ask Jesus, who's so beautiful and does it in a way that brings hope. I would recommend asking Jesus to break you and to show you your brokenness, because he'll do it in a way that will bring hope, restoration, and healing. And he will do it because he loves us and he wants the best for us. And so if you say, Lord, show me, he'll do it. He's not going to do it all at once. He's been doing it to me one thing at a time as I deal with stuff, as I've been going through stuff. So I can recommend asking Jesus to do it. And I believe when he does it, it's really the only way to find hope. But we have that. We all share that. That's the common denominator at Unity Baptist. We believe that Jesus is Lord. And so that's where we want to be, is to be, say, Lord, show me. And I believe he is going to speak through people. He will speak through broken people. I believe he will. And he wants us all to be at that place. And I believe he will guide us to places that we never dreamed of. Unity never, his word says, even if I told you, you wouldn't believe me. And I believe that's where it is. Even if God told us where Unity is going to do in the kingdom of God, we wouldn't believe him, because it would be so phenomenal. And he could use us. So I want to give you that hope today that we could be there as a church. And just as a body of believers who claim Jesus is Lord, broken people doing it together. We already have all that needs to happen. We have Jesus and we have each other. And so he wants to do awesome things. And so I'm excited. I've seen things about unity that I can't wait for the Lord to do them, but they'll happen with prayer and with broken people. And so I'm excited.
We're going to wrap it up here, friends, at least the formal part of this. Anyone who wants to stick around afterwards, we will have discussion groups available. If you want to go to the fellowship time and hang out with your friends, say hello, you'll be able to do that. And if you would like to join a discussion time to continue the conversation with Joel and myself, you are welcome to stick around and we will start interacting with whoever shows up. Joel, do you want to pray us out?
Sure. Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for this body of believers that you brought together. Each one of us has a different story about how we got here. We've been here for different lengths of time. But I know you brought me here, and so I trust that everybody else is here for a reason too. Heavenly Father, I am going to pray right now for a spirit of prayer. A spirit, your spirit of prayer. I pray that on the people of Unity, everybody that's on this Zoom call, and even the people who aren't here, who don't even know it, that you would hit us with a spirit of prayer. We would be so burdened for prayer that it would affect every aspect of our lives. We would be burdened for our children. We would get on our knees and beg you for them, for our grandchildren, for our spouses, for our coworkers, that our prayers that have lasted 5 minutes now are going on an hour and 2 hours because we can't stop praying. That you would come in power and give us the spirit of prayer because we can't conjure that ourselves. That only comes from your spirit. And so I'm going to ask for it. I'm going to ask for it on behalf of Unity Baptist in the name of Jesus, that you would pour out a spirit of prayer and we wouldn't stop praying. That Unity Baptist would become a house of prayer. You would drive out everything out of Unity that doesn't belong here. Because heaven knows I brought my own crap to this church that you want to drive out and flip the tables of and say, get out of here. This is a house of prayer. And that Unity Baptist would become a house of prayer. And I pray that your spirit would pour out so powerfully that people would say, what's going on with Unity Baptist? Like, there's something going on there. Spirit is moving in power. People are walking by that church and being healed. Walking by on the sidewalk and repenting. Something is going on in there. Heavenly Father, I pray that for this body, that you would pour out your spirit on us right now. Pour out your spirit on people that are there in their homes. Pour it out in power, Lord. That people would weep because you were so beautiful and that you would just reveal yourself to their hearts, Lord. We all love you, but we all love the world as well, Lord. And I pray that you would drive out the world out of our hearts because we need to make room for the King. The King is coming. And that we would watch and pray. We would be a church that watches and prays. And that we would be a people that is completely submitted to the Holy Spirit. Pour out your gifts on the... I pray right now you would pour out your gifts upon Unity Baptist. Pour out your gifts among all the people here. We can't earn the gifts. They're gifts for a reason. So I pray that you would pour out all those gifts on people. That people would start prophesying. Our kids would prophesy, Lord. Our kids would prophesy to the Church of Unity Baptist. That's what I pray. We would be humbled because our kids would be prophesying over what's going to happen, what you're going to do in this place. And that we would become just a body of believers that love each other and take care of each other. I ask these things in the powerful, powerful name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Thanks, Joel. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. Go in peace, my friends.